we had been following St. Mark in the comments, we were approaching now one of the turning points in the gospel. This rejection of Nazareth. And it was a turning point in our Lord's life as well. But we'll deal with that some other year. The letter to the Hebrews, we're coming to a conclusion now. And so we have the opening line today. This is a repeat from yesterday. Brothers and sisters, in your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood. He's pretty serious about resisting sin at every level. He probably is talking about martyrdom, but it's not that clear. But certainly he's saying, if you resist sin, you're going to suffer. And blessed are you, because that has a great reward. So then, he quotes this text from the book of Proverbs. You see, you've also forgotten the exhortation addressed to you as children. My son, do not disdain the discipline of the Lord, or lose heart when reproved by him. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. He scourges every son he acknowledges. And so now, he's going to give this exhortation about suffering, about difficulty. Part of it is, and we can infer from the whole tone of the letter, the whole point of the letter was to strengthen the faith of the Jewish believers in Alexandria. Some of this is hypothesis, but because they were persecuted and losing heart and being tempted to renounce their Christianity and go back to Judaism. And this, the whole point of this letter was to show you the splendor, the glory, the light, the majesty, the authority of Jesus Christ and what he has done. In the act of love in which he died, he pierced the veil, went right into the presence of God, and brought us with him. And now, having been ordained through his suffering, he's now a priest. And he makes intercession for us all the time. Now, we also saw yesterday, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising its shame. And that joy, that's us. So now in the same movement of love, he's saying, now look, let's get real. There's sin in this world. And there's sin in your life. And you've got to get rid of it. For the Lord's glory, for the consolation of his heart, and for your own eternal life. You got to get rid of it. So the Lord does it. Now that's one dimension of this suffering, right? Purify us. Well, how does it purify us? Sin is all self-satisfaction, right? Satisfy self, one way or the other. Suffering is the denial of self. And that's how we get purified and get free. The biggest obstacle in life is our ego. We are basically egomaniacs. Everything happens to us. Everything is for us. Everything is good if it makes me happy. Everything is bad if it makes me sad. And that's nuts. Even the Buddhists caught on to that, to try to get people over being self-centered, they have these koans, Because, you see, if I were to leave this podium and walk over towards Sarah, am I coming or going? Depends on how you look at it, right? Sarah says, I'm coming. I think I'm going. That's simple. You know, that we're that is in, that ingrained in us. So they have these koans. They have these things that baffle your mind to try to get you out of this. One of them, a master, we tell his disciple, "Do you know the sound of two hands clapping?" "Yes." "I want you to meditate all day on what's the sound of one hand clapping." "Why do such a thing?" To adjust your head. The deeper way is what our Lord is doing. You see? Endure your trials because they're going to get you out of your egomania and you're going to be joyful in union with the Lord and useful to the church. Isn't that great? "For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines." He says, that's a funny way to show love. Well, it's like Paul says in Romans, you know, I esteem that the sufferings of this life cannot compare to the weight of glory that awaits us. Right? He says, you know, a little earlier in the same letter, there's the line before, actually, you know. "So we are sons, and if sons, heirs. Provided that we co-suffer with him, so that we can be co-glorified with him." One leads to the other because we get rid of our ego. That's why we come to the aid of one another to support that time of difficulty. That's love. The point is to grow in love. God treats you as sons. "For what son is there whom his father does not discipline?" And so the angle that he's taking is that suffering frees us from ego. How? Well, it doesn't have to. We can get turned in on ourselves and go into a pity party. And sometimes it's hard to stay out of. But it is to strive to be faithful to the Lord. In doing so, the Lord Jesus Christ is at work in us. And we are growing every day in union with him. But there's more. See, the reality of sin is such that it's all over the place. And we carry the sin of the world. So as we suffer, you see, we are bringing the world to the Father. Jesus has done this. But now the reality of Jesus and his suffering has to always exist here on the globe. And so he suffers in his members, just as he intercedes in his members. And so that's the whole other, you see, dimension. You know, when things are really bad, you say to yourself, "I mean, I know I'm a sinner, but am I this bad?" Yeah, I mean, that's the way it goes. But it's not just for ourselves. "It is now my joy to suffer for you," Paul says, "and to make up in my flesh what's wanting to the tribulations of Christ." There's nothing wanting. And yet, they must exist again here on this earth. His love, his intercession, his suffering must exist here. To lift the whole body of Christ, to lift the whole world. That's the whole point. And so he's encouraging these people who are having a hard time. You know, they're laughed at by their neighbors. They're not having much success. They probably still live in the Jewish ghetto, and the Jews, their friends are saying, "Why don't you just forget that Christian stuff? Come on back and where you belong, and you know, get out of that stuff. I mean, all it's getting you into is trouble." It'd be hard, wouldn't it? You know, now 2 millennia later, no, we're the Catholic Church, but back then, little group of people in the corner of a ghetto. You see? That's his point. "So strengthen your drooping hands and weak knees. Make straight paths for your feet, that what is lame may not be dislocated, but healed. And so you see, it's the discipline of holiness. To be faithful to the Lord, we grow. We grow and we turn from self. And then we say, man, this is really better. You know, I'm not preoccupied with myself all day. You know, I don't judge good or bad depending on how it affects me. This is good. And I join the Lord in the mystery of His suffering for the sake of the whole world. That's why He gives this great exhortation. And He ends, let there be no bitter root. Now He's talking to the community. Make sure there is no bitter root among you to spring up and cause trouble, through which many can become defiled. Enmity, jealousy, backbiting, gossip, cut it out. And if there's somebody in your heart that you're angry at or bitter about, you know, get it out. It can destroy the community. So you see, he's a rather realistic fellow. But remember, all of this, you see, is so that the joy of Jesus Christ will be here in our lives, in our community, and available to anybody who wants it.